You need a great opener, like somehow we're adults. Do do.
We could record that right now.
Some kind of like.
We could record that right now.
Everybody, be quiet.
Somehow we're adults.
So the first thing here. So this is welcome back to another episode of the book club podcast. Mm-hmm. We normally have Adrian with us too. Adrian was unable to make it for this one. He'll be back around for the next one. You know, I'm not sure if he read this book, but you know, we'll talk about it next time he's on.
We'll roast him on it too. We bros.
Yeah, the show must go on. So Juan, this was your pick of the book. This was the what is it? I'm sorry. The courage. I almost said the power, but the courage to be disliked.
Yeah.
What made you pick this book? Was it just based off the title? Did you read something about it?
So with the last book, I started noticing that a lot of my, I guess I wasn't really controlling my behavior or emotions correctly, and I just didn't know how to be happy, really. So I'm looking on Amazon, the audiobook thing, and I see a subscript, so they'll put like a little
blurb.
Yeah, a little blurb. And it was the very beginning when the guy was like, you know, the courage to be disliked, stuff like that. And I'm reading the reviews, and the reviews are like, I hate the kid's voice, it's annoying. But I'm like, you know, in a way, I started seeing it as like the excuses we make. It's kind of annoying when, you know, later on in the day you're like, I should have just sucked it up and just did it. Mm-hmm. But like me on homework, I should have done it in the morning, but no, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it at night. Mm-hmm. So I started seeing all these other books, and for some reason that thing just kept coming back. And I'm like, is this a sign for me to just choose this book? But then, you know, it's like, I don't really, I'm looking at the time, like it was like a 6 hour 30 minute audiobook. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, looking at the other books, and it's like, you know what, I'm just gonna choose this one, just go with it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different from all the other books we read, because it's basically a conversation. That's all you're reading.
It's very different than any book I've mm-hmm. ever read.
And they have another book, I think it's The Courage to Be Happy. But I think that's like the next phase after learning the principles here. And I think it's a very good book. I'm glad I chose it.
Yeah.
It's probably out of like just trying to be happy and understanding like Alderian psychology, how it's a lot different than what Sigmund Freud like studies psychology. Mm-hmm. You start to understand not only... I think you started understanding more of different perspective from others. Like when somebody's mad, when somebody's like, pushing things off, like, I can't make it. I'm like, all right, are you making excuses because it's the least importance to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it because you want to do it?
And right. Then,
but you learn a lot of things, and, you know, we can talk about it right now. I have our notes.
Real quick, I just want to touch on what my first impression of it was when you sent us this book and said this was the one we're going to get, is The Courage to Be Disliked. When you first read that title, you're like, The Courage to Be Disliked. You immediately go like, I don't want to be disliked. I want to be liked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, the courage. But courage is like, takes like strength. You know what I mean? Like, courage is like an honorable thing to have. But to be disliked is dishonorable. You know what I mean? I was conflicted just reading the title. But underneath it, it says, the Japanese phenomenon that shows you how to change your life and achieve real happiness. And I was like, okay. And I had, with everything that I do, in my life on a regular basis, I've kind of realized that, like, real happiness is something that you find for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do what your parents wanted to. You can't do it. And so, like, when I read all that, when I read that title, and it like clicked with me and how I'm my views of like life at this stage of my life, I was like, this is truly going to be a good book. Like, I sat down with the expectation that this one was going to be really, really good. So that was my expectation. But at first, I was like, The Courage to Be Disliked. And like after our last podcast, when we were talking about the book that Adrian picked and where you were at that time, which I don't know if you remember, but like you were like, you seemed conflicted. You were talking about going out all the time. And I honestly feel like this could have been a giant emotional leap for you that time too. It, to me, this seems like it was the medicine you needed at that moment.
Oh, for sure. It really, like after I read the book in 3 days listened to it in 3 days.
You told us about it. And then like 2 days later, you're like, I'm done. And I was like, yo, bro.
But it was crazy because it was like, it started out with like, you know, like the boy who's like kind of like in our shoes, who's right. like probably middle age, out of college, doesn't know how to be happy. You know, he wants to, he has friends. He's saying examples about, you know, I have a friend that wants to go out, but he's always staying inside. And then he's talking about like, oh, I have a big brother who he's just freaking amazing, whatever, and like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's talking about like, I'm not happy because they have...
He's lost, and yeah. he thinks it's good to be lost because of his excuses.
And the thing that's crazy, like, it helped me out so much because that's kind of why I haven't really been posting as much, mm-hmm. like, as I usually do. I usually just do it on the weekends because what is the purpose of just social media? Social media is just to...
Project.
Project, basically. It's just for fun, really.
Mm-hmm.
Other business... And then you see it just turn into a point where, like, businesses are just like, oh, you got to try this out for your business. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, just so much abundance, so much perspective, so much opinions on certain topics that you mm-hmm. kind of just, like... A lot of people tend to, like, copy that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not them because it's not original. It's not, like, organic. It wasn't growing right. to... Like, it wasn't growing with them. And it's helped me out with, like, my workouts. It helped me out with my runs. Because I didn't see it like, oh, I'm trying to be this so I can be recognized. I'm just mm-hmm. trying to be this because this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody else, they don't have to see my heavy lifts or anything like
right.
that. It's just...
Right. Me versus me.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I don't need to have an audience... on those most days. That's why I don't really post my workouts. I really don't post my runs anymore, which I haven't been running as much, but that's part of the reason. But sometimes it's cool to like put it out there too, to like try to inspire others, but do it for the reasons of wanting to inspire others, not flex and show my, it's just a different, like point that you're coming from kind of thing. Same kind of thing. Like it's still putting the information out there, but for the purpose of inspiring others is what I do it for.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the podcast. I do the podcast partially because I love to do it, but a lot of it too is like, I feel like I've gotten so much benefit from podcasts that I feel like I would be robbing society if I didn't do one myself and talk about all the benefits for me and interview people that have different opinions. Because similarly, how do you said in this book, it's a kid who is like lost at roughly our age, right? Like when I started the podcast, I was overcome with the idea where I'm like, I feel like I'm doing everything wrong. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's no right way to do it. And that's the thing that I wanted to create with the podcast. That's why the name of it is Somehow We're Adults. Because, like, next thing you know, you're grown up. And that's when you don't have a choice. You have to figure it out. And I'm like, but I feel like I have no direction, no guide, no anything like that. And that's when I feel like me starting to interview people and just talk to different people about all their different walks of lives and realize that we all have something in common. And it's just striving to be our most original selves.
And that's the thing. It's like, I've, like, other experience I've gotten from, like, this book, too. Like, the whole different perspective, how you bring other people in. Mm-hmm. I got the same thing from the military. So, like, when I left, you know, we growing up in a small town, whatever like that. It's a lot like that everywhere else in the country. Mm-hmm. So, when I'm going to, like, training and you see, like, people that grew up in, like, the city, you know. Probably not with the best mentors there. I'm like, oh, like, so they would have a different perspective on other things. And I'm like, why is that? And then that's kind of how you, having diversity, man, that creates one of the best friendships I've had.
Bro, for certain. Yeah. And just, I mean, if everyone in the world did exactly what you did, it'd be the most boring thing ever.
Yeah. And it's like, that's kind of why, like, you see a lot of people unhappy, like, because they're always trying to copy something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I'm trying. And then, yeah, they'll be like flexing. Yeah, it's great. You know, you can try to inspire, but you're not going to.
Right.
Is it actually you doing it, or is it because you got in, like, influenced by somebody else, and then now you're not really happy, but you're still doing it. But then now you're like, you know, a plateau. It's like you're in quicksand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
So brief overview of the book. Do you want to do that? Or you want me to touch on some things?
Do you want to go like through the notes and stuff?
Well, that's one of the first things I like to do is give a brief overview of the book. So anybody who's looking to read this can understand like what kind of to expect, because I'll be honest, I didn't realize what to expect until I started reading it. And you told us about it. So you want to give a brief overview, kind of describe the book?
All right. So in the book, there is a philosopher that lives in the mountains. And then there is a guy who's kind of like us, who has like, I don't really know the direction I want in life. But he just wants to, like, tell this philosopher that, I hear you're the happiest man in the world. And the philosopher is just like, yeah. And he's like, but why? So he starts to ask him questions, like, and he's trying to, like, what's it called?
He's trying to poke holes in the
basically,
philosopher.
Basically, yeah. In everything he does. And mm-hmm. the philosopher isn't getting mad about it at all. He's just like, well, why do you think that way? And mm-hmm. then he's giving him more and more examples. Examples like, what's it called? Like, when you're angry at somebody, like, I flip my shit on the waiter and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, why didn't you just, like, grab a knife and killed him? Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's messed up. I'm like, right. But you said, you know, you lost your shit.
Yeah.
He was like, well, no, it's different. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, he's talking about how you have control over your emotions.
You have control. And
if people succumb to their emotions, then... like, then it would be okay in that situation when you flip out on the waiter. Like, what's stopping you from killing them? And they'd be like, oh, sorry, it wasn't me. It was my emotions. It's like, no, it was you.
Yeah. And then there's, like, other things. Like, you're not happy with your appearance. And, like, and there was one, I think he said he had a friend who would always try to, like, dress up or something like that. Mm-hmm. And his grandma was like, you're the only one that cares about how you look. And then after that, the guy was just like, you know what, you're right. So he just, like... he puts a lot of pressure on him, mm-hmm. and then at the same time, he's, like, guiding him. And I think the main thing was you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
100%.
Oh, man. And you, I'm not sure if you've gotten to that part yet. Mm-hmm. I know you probably had, like, because you read the majority of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, to anyone listening, this is the first book of the book club that I didn't completely finish. We can talk about why, but I got to 219 pages out of 260 something, so I was about 50 yeah. pages away.
Yeah,
which I'm still going to finish it. It's not, this isn't a book that I'm just going to move on to the next one. I'm still going to finish this book.
Yeah, but basically the way they stop on the book, like, kind of is like when I stopped, like, listening to it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know what, let's pick this up tomorrow. And they say that, so the book guy's like, all right. And he, like, takes 2 weeks and then comes back. So a lot of it is basically the guy who's, like, in our shoes, he has all these questions, all these, like, built up, like, mm-hmm. I guess, negative energy inside him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of, like, telling it how it is. And then the philosopher is kind of like, I used to be in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a conversation from my point of view, to put it as simply as I can, is that... it's a conversation between a philosopher who's happy and what they call him is the youth, mm-hmm. which is basically just like somebody who is in their 20s, who is very unhappy and pessimistic. And basically, the philosopher, through the youth trying to pick the philosopher apart, the philosopher is actually, like, picking the youth apart and destroying all of what the youth believes. And creating something, like building something up from there, because he basically shows all the reasons that he's wrong and the philosopher is right through, like, conversations, and mainly talking about how would you pronounce that philosopher's name that they mentioned 1,000 times?
Alderian psychology was the thing he was
referencing.
Yeah, because he said it was what it goes, like, all the way back to, like, Plato's and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But the thing that was different, why Alderian psychology isn't talked a lot, is because of it turned into a way of a belief,
right.
Which is why they're like, you know, you're messing with religion now. You shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's more because, like, the reason that psychologists study Freud and what was the other one? Freud and... There was another psychologist that they mentioned that were studied, but basically the philosopher is saying the reason that those ones are studied the most is because you can argue a point against it, mm-hmm. and he goes, with the Alderian stuff, it's not really refutable, mm-hmm. and that's why it's generally accepted, is because it's just unrefutable.
Yeah, it was Freud, Jung, and Antler.
Those were the Jung, three. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But now, another thing too. So I another way that I failed with this episode, I did not take notes on it like I normally do. Mm-hmm. Now I really like the book too because it breaks everything down. It's not just like it's. I like that it's separate days that they're having this conversation over. I think it's super unique that they're having a conversation instead of just one person spewing out and saying this is what you should do with your life. It's a conversation of like someone question and answer kind of thing. And I really like that it separates it into days too, when like when basically he sees that he's given the youth so much information to think about, he's like, okay, come back.
And yeah, then, and come then, back.
I like how you're saying, because I didn't read it like the way you just said, where it's like, okay, think about this information, then move on. Mm-hmm. I almost wish I would have listened to this on audiobook instead of reading it.
That's kind of why, like when I listen to it, like the first 3 days, I'm talking about, I would go on an hour walk with my dog, freaking put the headphones on. Freaking wake up in the morning. Oh, I got an hour drive to work. I'm going to listen to it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm at work right now. Let me put some AirPods on. Mm-hmm. I'm just tearing off. Just listen to it. And next thing you know, like even going to school, an hour drive there, mm-hmm. an hour drive back.
You started to realize how much time you really do have.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, God dang, 3 days? Yeah. And I'm not going to say like, oh, I read it like not like, what's it called? Very heavenly. I'm like, no, I'm listening to music mm-hmm. here and there. I'm like, all right, let me just take a break.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually after 3 days, I'm like, this is the first like book I've read so fast
or listened to. It hits you different.
Yeah, and I was like so into it, and then I was texting you about it, like, bro, did you get the book? Mm-hmm. Bro, did you finish the book? Mm-hmm. Bro, where are you at? You're like, bro, I haven't even gotten the book yet.
Bro, like, it took like a week and a half for it to come in. It took forever for this book to get in. I don't know why. Shout out Amazon.
Yeah.
Pay all that extra money for Prime for no reason.
I think it was funny too, because I was like, bro, I just ordered the book, it just came in. You were like, what the heck?
I know. Yeah, you got yours like same day, and mine took like a week to come in. I was like, what the heck, bro? I was about to go borrow yours from you.
Yeah, because I gave the I let my roommate start reading the book, so he's doing it like 20 pages, and he actually liked the fact that, you know, we're doing these podcasts with these books. So he wanted to start reading as well, because mm-hmm. he, you know, he works from home, so he has his own office and thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of time he has, like, once he gets off of work, like, he's engaged, so he usually waits till, like, the weekend to go see his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout Monday through Friday, he's just like, I'm going to go to the gym, he cooks from home, and then it's like, well, I don't know what to do.
For entertainment.
So he starts reading the book. He goes, like, I just tell myself 20 pages a day. Closes the book, and he's gotten pretty far on the book. So
nice.
He hasn't finished it because I still see his bookmark, so I'm just gonna leave it on the table.
Yeah. I mean, my goal too. I mean, obviously 20 pages a day would be great, but mine is to try and do one page a day. If that, as crazy as that sounds, because that's the hardest page to read is the first one.
Oh yeah.
Because that's when you got to sit down and I mean, I try to leave time to where I can read more than just one. But there was a lot of days too. Like, we went on vacation. I thought I was going to read more on vacation than I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, I was going to read more throughout this week, and just like these, you know, little things happen. And next thing you know, like, I'm robbed of that time for one reason or another. But I could have been better. I definitely could have been better. I think with this book, it was hard for me to read, because especially the second half of the book, it gets very, very hard to understand.
Yeah, it's a lot of terms and stuff. Yeah, so yeah. I had to like rewind it a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the heck did he just say?
And what does that mean?
Yeah, so there was like so many. So like in the beginning, let me...
pull up your notes.
Yeah. So in chapter one, it talks about Alderian psychology. And that's basically like why people can change. You know, it talks about teleology, all that other stuff. But the things that, like, I got from the first, like, two chapters was the feeling of inferiority, which is basically, like, oh, like, New Year's resolution. Yeah. Like, oh, I want to, you know, a lot of people start with, like, that New Year's resolution. Like, I'm trying to lose weight, or I'm trying to do this and that. So they set themselves goals, and that's what it is. But the inferiority complex is those excuses.
Mm-hmm. So, why I'm not good enough.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I went to the gym 2 days, I can get a rest day. And then that rest day turns into like 3 rest days. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into, I mean, I'm guilty of it too, man. I eat as much as I want on the weekends, but mm-hmm. not so much to where like I'm super full. It's like, why did I eat these loaded fries with cheese and all these goodness on it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just inferiority complex. It's just excuses. Like when you're at the gym and you know you can do it like another rep or another set, but then you're just like, you don't really want to do it. Or mm-hmm. just simple excuses like, right, I don't want to do my homework and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the more it intensifies, that's when you start getting the superiority complex, which is like boasting. You're intensified. That's kind of the position I was with the last book. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that about myself. And the biggest thing that I got in that chapter was the Gordian knot. So basically there was this knot, and Alexander the Great freaking comes there.
Well, to explain before he was there, what happens?
So the Gordian knot was basically like, if you can untie this knot, you know, you're
going to be king. I think they said that whoever can untie this knot,
yeah,
or whoever can undo this knot will be the king.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come from all over the land to try and untie that knot, and nobody could undo it.
Nobody could. And Alexander the Great just...
Walks in there.
Yeah. People are like, oh, is he actually going to do it? Takes out his knife or his freaking sword and just...
Cuts it in half.
And he's like... That's it. And they're like, no, you can't do that. But the Gordian knot is so, it got me so like it blew my mind, because this whole time, like growing up in public school, in middle school, high school, and even after high school, you're told like, hey, you know, in order to be successful, you got to do good in school. You got to go to college. You got to get a good job. You got to buy a house. You know, it kind of like society kind of makes you like, all right, you got to do these steps to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take different approaches when you come to different obstacles to be mm-hmm. happy. So it's like, let's say some people don't want to go to college. They want to start their own business. What's stopping you? Just go do it.
Right.
So the Gordian knot is like, hey, you got to try new methods, man. Because it's like, you're constantly told the old method, like, this is how you got to do things. But sometimes, take that freaking sword. Cut that shit.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to, that's exactly what it says. Find your own path to victory kind mm-hmm. of thing, you know? Yeah. I like that it breaks it down, because like he kind of starts in the book with, talking about you as the individual and how you perceive things, and then goes into how you should be in relationships mm-hmm. and then how you should be in your community. Cause like another thing too, that, you know, it's in a bigger city like where we live, right? So it's growing area. We're near Tampa. Tampa's huge kind of thing. And it's only getting more and more people here. You start to get in this idea that, like, you know, what difference can I make? You know, what difference can I make in the community? There's so many people. But it's also like, too, like, that's such a negative mindset, such a self-limiting mindset.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it's like, now you're helping exactly nobody. Yep. And if you helped one person in that community, you would be doing better than most of the people in the community. It's like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of the cool part, I thought, when they start talking about community in the world. And it's like, even if you feel exiled from your local community, there's still a much bigger community that you could zoom out to kind of thing. Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
The whole thing with the relationship things, the horizontal and vertical relationships. Horizontal is like you're seeing everybody as equal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like nobody's higher than anybody. But, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times people tend to be into that vertical relationship towards like, oh, I have all this. So
I'm better than others.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie. I used to be like that.
I do it too.
And it's like, but then... That kind of stuff, like, you don't notice it, but later on, that's when it gets you into that whole superiority complex, because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I have all this, you know, you're just making a lot of excuses, you're starting to boast, mm-hmm. you'll post on Instagram, whatever you freaking name it, and it's just like, you're constantly trying to impress others who don't really care.
Right.
Like, so, what's it called? Damn, the Zen pouch is hitting, bro. Like, hey, I'm still normal, man, you know? I wish Zen can sponsor us.
Yeah, you just want free Zens.
I do want free Zens, man. These things ain't cheap. They go by.
But the... I really like what they talk about with the horizontal versus vertical relationships, because I feel myself... When they were talking about it, I could name 10 relationships I have that felt like I was... the lower end of the vertical relationship, and I put myself there.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was insane. I put myself there. And that other person didn't do it.
Yep.
And then I felt reading that too, where I've had relationships where I put myself above others, you know, in a higher, basically like they're not equals to me. I'm better than them, or they're better than me. And I realized, I'm like, no, like we're all individuals and we're all better in some ways and worse in others, but we all are collectively horizontal. And I'm not, I refuse now to have anyone like try and make themselves better than me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or me better than them.
And then now it's like with the influence of social media, you see a lot of vertical relationships every time I go out. And it's like now when I go out to any social setting, I just kind of like, bro, the waiter is my equal, the freaking anybody mm-hmm. there is my equal. And it's like, I'm not. You can have more genuine conversations that way.
100%.
So
if you don't have that fear of like they're better than me, then you can actually have like, and that's what most people want.
Mm-hmm.
They want that.
So it's like, bro, my conversations now, I'll just be talking to anybody. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you'll have those people that don't want to talk. And it's just like, you know what? That's not a task that's up to me. That's mm-hmm. a task that's up to them, which is a great thing they tell me in this book, too, where it's like a lot of times. Well, let me see where it's at. The biggest thing was like, you're making the world complicated. The world you see is different from what I see. And then the whole well water thing. That I'm not sure if you
refresh me on the well water.
So the well water, he saw the youth was like, he's like, have you ever drank well water? That's what the philosopher said. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. He's like,
it's always cold.
Like, it's always at a certain like temperature. And he's like, well, it tastes a lot. It's a lot colder in the summer. He's like, no, it's not. It's the same temperature you drink in the summer than what you drink in the winter. And he's like, no, it's not, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's talking about that. Like, what does that have to do with anything? He's mm-hmm. like, well, it all comes down to, like, the perception. Setting, the yeah. perception. And it's like, and that was a great example.
Well, because, like, what they say is, like, I think they said it's, like, it's always at 61 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's hot outside, it feels like the coldest water ever. And when it's cold outside, it feels like it's warm water. Like, it's the same temperature year-round. It's the circumstance that changes. Which reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, was that the same boiling water that softens the potato hardens the egg.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, like, it's the same kind of thing. It's, like, how you're going to respond to the stimulus of whatever it is to, I don't know. That just reminded me of that when I heard that that story of the well water.
Yeah, but it's also like, bro, just be consistent. Like, mm-hmm. that's one other thing. It's like, yeah, settings around you are always going to change. But if you can still, like, and I'm not saying, like, he said in order to study, like, to get this type of lifestyle, you have to divide your age by, like, half. So, like, I probably have, what, 14 years to go. And it's like, I'm not perfect in it. And he's like, you're going to lose your way. You're not going to be perfect. You know, but it's okay to know that, hey, this is what you started on. It's okay to come back to it. So it's like,
what do you mean by the age thing? I missed that.
There was a part of the age where he's talking about, like, in order to understand, like, Alderian psychology and live that way, mm-hmm. to where you see everybody as equal, mm-hmm. you know, all that, the philosophies and lessons they teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Divide your age by half, and that's how many years you're gonna have to, like,
take to get there
to where you understand, like, Alderian psychology. So mm-hmm. he was telling the youth, like, look, like, you're young, like, if you can start now, and, like, you'll be happy, like, truly mm-hmm. happy once you reach this.
It takes time to build it.
It takes
time. You have to because in reality you have to break down all of your preconceived notions that you learned from that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really good book, man.
What else did they talk about?
So we went over likes. Is there any dislikes for the book?
Well, for me, I wouldn't really say it's a dislike. It's more of, you had to do work. So you had to do more, like, mental work. There were times where I had to, like, look things up. I'm like, well, what the heck did they just say? Like, who's Alderian? Like, mm-hmm. who's Antler or something like that? So I had to, like, look up on Wikipedia who's Antler, and it talks about Plato's and all those, like, Greek philosophers. And then it was like, what the heck is this talking about? Then you start to, it's a very it's a book that kind of picks up its vocabulary the longer you read it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh dang. So other than that, it's just more research on my part. But mm-hmm. because I was willing to, like, understand the book, I was willing to do that research.
Right. It's what you needed.
Yeah. And that's my only dislike. What about yours?
So my only dislike was that towards the end of it, this is also partly my fault, but I have an issue with focusing on hard to understand things. Like, I almost wish I had more time, and it's not even that I need the more time. It's just like I would have, if this book would have been as meaningful to me as it was to you, to, like, sit down in the part of the book that I'm in, the second half, because the first half was way easier to read.
Mm-hmm.
The second half is a lot more philosophical, and I wish I had time to dissect everything and to put it into more layman terms, because that's what I really kind of wanted, was more concrete examples and layman term things. But I wish I had more time to understand the second half, because, like, today I read, like, 2 pages of the book, and I literally was like, I am struggling to focus on this right now.
I think this is one book that it'd be best to listen on audiobook.
I agree with you.
Because it's kind of like like when you're listening to like Joe Rogan podcast or any other podcast, even yours, mm-hmm. like you just put that on, you can just listen to the conversation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you're drawn into it, it's like things start to connect. And there are times when I had to stop and just rewind. I'm like, yeah. What the heck did he just say?
Same thing with podcasts. I do mm-hmm. the same thing there sometimes. I'm like, wait, why is Juan talking about a water well right now? You know what I mean? No, I do the same thing now. But besides that, I mean, I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of notes because I had to reread it again.
Sure.
But I'm like basically halfway. So there was a determinism. What that talks about is the past doesn't matter. Present goals matter. So it's like a lot of times people aren't happy because they're focusing so much on the past. And that's limiting them from like being happy. Like, oh, like for instance, like you just got out of a breakup. So then now this was the big thing for me. You just got out of a breakup. And this happens to everybody whenever they were like in love, in the mm-hmm. their first love or whatever like that. You get out of a breakup. And then now, as the man or woman, you're trying to so hard to make that other person like try to accept you back. When you're not thinking about it the other way, like you did what you could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your job to impress them for mm-hmm. them to come back. It's a task that's up to them. So it's like, be honest, be truthful. And it's like, look, I was honest, I was truthful, I was the best I could be as a partner. Now that comes down, that's a task for them. So that's a task like, am I willing to get this guy back, give him another chance, whatever you name it? No, that's more of a, it is. It's more of a task for them. And a lot of times, and it goes the same thing with like other relationships too. Like a lot of people try so much to impress other people that they don't realize because they're doing that, like, oh, like, look at me, I'm trying. That's creating vertical relationships right there. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing each other as equal anymore. So
that's a huge point.
Yeah, that was a huge point for me. And I was like, you know what? I kind of got to get away from that. So putting the phone down, just kicking the ball by myself. And, you know, kicking the ball by myself, I'm trying to, like, go back to those childhood adventures. But then it's also like, why did I stop in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to everybody, you know. You had goals. You kind of went out. My goal was to be a professional soccer player when I was younger. And I ain't going to lie, I was pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. But what happened? It was like, I thought so much of me being like, oh, I've accomplished all these tournaments. I've won all this. I went so far to, like, you know, compete with the national team. I wasn't in the national team, but I was in the selection to be in the national team.
Mm-hmm.
And I only made it to, like, Region 3, which is, like, the best players in the 12th Southeastern state. Mm-hmm. I would go to Alabama, and I went there twice to compete and make the team. They would only make, I think, two teams from that. So I think they would only select 44 players out of those 12. Bro, and I'm talking, there was, like, five teams. So we had the Florida A team, B team, C team, you know, five teams. Those five teams would go to Alabama and they would compete to see who can, you know, make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I thought about it, like now that I'm thinking about it, it's like I was already good. Like, why was I trying to impress, you know, other people? Like, yeah, you know, you're trying to be in competition. You're trying to be on the better team, the winning team. But, and I loved to win, but
when you were doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And I didn't understand. I wish I could, you know, you can't go back in time, but mm-hmm. if there was a time when I could go back, one thing, it kind of eats me up to this day when I'm kicking the ball. And I didn't understand it when I was younger. So when I was playing for my club team, you know, I played many positions, but one of my strongest positions was center back. Even though I wasn't the tallest player, you know, us Mexicans don't grow that hot. We don't grow that tall. But I was center back. So you have like this 5'7" guy, and you have like, you know, these are the best of the best. So these are players that are like 6 foot. Like these guys were fast. I love competing against like fast players, strong players, because it was like, hey, even though I ain't taller than you, I'm gonna outsmart you because mm-hmm. oh, I know you're fast, I'll just step back a little bit so I can mm-hmm. get a head start to get this ball. And mm-hmm. the thing that ate me alive was one time I was too prideful in my position. So I thought I was the best in center back. Like, nobody could beat me. This is the spot I want. And one of the scouts there was like, try left back. And I tried left back, bro. I had an amazing game. I was like everybody was like, God damn, you shot that with the left foot. I'm like, I'm not even left footed. So I had to work for that. And I was like, I felt so alive because I just wanted to win. And I remember leaving that game, the scouts and other scouts were like, hell of a game, blah, blah, blah. But I was mad because I was in center back. Mm. So that was the pride. I was like, I thought I was better than everybody here at center back, but why do they have me on left back? If I were to actually just listen to their advice, I'd probably be in the national pool at that age, but I didn't. I was too, like, I want to be center back, only center back. Right. So that limited my opportunities to progress more. And then now, when I grown up, you know, that's out of the way now. I started coaching, and then, you know, I was still kind of the same way with, like, the players I was coaching. I was like, nah, she's fast, or she's, because I was coaching my sister's team. Like, she's skilled. I'm going to put them here and there. But I never really tried them, like, in different positions to see if, like, hey, you know, if this position isn't right for you, let's switch you over here. Mm-hmm. So whenever I do go back to my coaching journey, I'm going to just, it's going to be very creative. Because
you're going to be coming from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. And I think that you had to learn through that so that way you can teach the people that you're going to coach to not have to go through those things. Mm-hmm.
And it's not even not to go through. Again, it's more of, it's a task for them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, look, I'm going to teach you. I was in your same shoes, you know.
Separation of tasks, like they mentioned here.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm like, and I'm just telling you, this is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. And a lot of times when people try to give advice, they're like, this is what happened to me, blah, blah, blah.
This is what you need to do this.
Yeah, you got to need to do it. Like, sometimes you just got to let them figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So,
if they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to want to do it too.
Yeah. And it's like, man, I think about it every time I'm kicking the ball. I'm like, damn, if I would have just listened to that scout, I probably would have been up there.
Right.
But I didn't because, again, I was too prideful with it. Mm-hmm. And that right there, from the lessons of the book, I was like, was I creating vertical relationships? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I was. You know, your competition always does that because you're trying to win. But learning, whenever you're trying to learn, don't try to see it as you're better than the teacher. Like, I know I was a pretty rough kid growing up. Like, I gave teachers a hard time because I thought I was smarter than them, even though I wasn't. So it comes down to, like, I'm going to just act like a fool because, yeah, but.
Well, to talk about this book, I think the only thing we're left to do, because you just talked about your takeaways from it, I think my biggest takeaway was the horizontal versus the vertical relationships too, and then the community aspect of it, which I already talked about. On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say this book, for me, I think if I would have read this right when I started doing the podcast, it would have been higher rated for me, but I would say it's probably a 6 for me. I wonder if I had listened to the audiobook, if I would have given it a higher score. I wonder, but I don't know.
It was a lot different. Like, I haven't read it like through the paperback, but I, with the audiobook, I'm like, you know, I can easily like digest catch it. It and if I have to stop and rewind it, it's not like I have to flip through pages and try to find it. And it's like, so this was probably like the best book I've read, only because of how I was before it. I didn't know how, like, you know, the superiority complex affected me. I didn't understand all the excuses I was making, because I would always say, like, oh, I'm working in construction. I have to go, to school in the evening. I have to run these businesses. And it's like, that right there, I'm just like, oh, people don't understand what I'm going through because this is what I'm doing. And that right there, I was putting myself, it was very, very toxic for me to do that. And I didn't know how much that built up upon me. So a lot of times when people try to give me advice, I would find myself kind of like,
an excuse why you couldn't be that way. Because I'm too busy. You don't understand.
And, you know, when people blow up, they talk, like, when they just shout out, the book talks about, like, people don't want to, like, be around those types of people because they feel like that kind of hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that when I had to rewatch the podcast from the last book, when I blurred out, I was like, that's kind of why the room was still quiet. I'm like, okay, I understand it now. So I had to see myself firsthand, and I was like, wow, damn, you are fucked up, man. You got a freaking, like...
It was, dude, it was an awesome podcast.
Yeah.
But I've tremendously enjoyed doing this podcast because, like, specifically the book club episodes, because, like, I don't know about you, but since I've started it, I feel like we're gaining momentum,
mm-hmm.
In this self-help area of, like, you know, like, that's, I think, just men influencing each other to get better and to focus on, like, being vulnerable and saying, I'm not where I want to be, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to try to get where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And just being surrounded by that too, like having, knowing that you and Adrian are also reading these books and that I'm going to be expected to at least have something to talk about when we schedule the next podcast or this podcast. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like after this one, we're going to go out there. You and I are going to hang out for a little bit, and then we're going to schedule the next one. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about what the next book is, which I'm going to talk about on here. And then now the clock starts. I'm going to get my, like, you're going to be expecting of it. I expect it from you. And then, I don't know, I feel like too many people don't look for relationships in their life that expect the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, and that's another thing, too, is, like, I feel comfortable being vulnerable around you as well as I hope that you do with me. And then also feeling strong around you is too, you know what I mean? Like, as far as like, I emotionally am in a good spot because of blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like people, those are the best friendships you can get to, is the ones where you feel both sides of the coin. And I think these books help a ton with that.
The one thing you just said about people not being happy and stuff, this is one last point I have. That really, like, kind of, like, it woke me up. It was like, you know, when people want to replace things, it's like, you're not trying to replace, like, oh, I wish I was taller. Oh, I wish I was smarter. I wish I was stronger. All that, you name it. It's like, it's not replacement that you want. It's just you want renewal. You're unhappy now because you choose to be unhappy. And mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck does he mean by that? I'm mm-hmm. like, no, I'm unhappy right now. And he's like, well, why are you unhappy? It's mm-hmm. like... My grades aren't good, my fitness, my diet shit, you mm-hmm. know, all that other stuff, you can freaking name it. My business isn't growing the way I want it to be. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, like,
now what?
Like, mm-hmm. well, I'm unhappy. I'm like, well, what are you doing about it? You're going to be unhappy if you're just sitting around wishing that something, a miracle is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to get out there. And
I like what he says about happiness, too, where happiness is basically the pursuit of goals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's where people get... It's not the sitting around and looking at all the things you haven't done. It's actually pursuing the things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that, because I've never felt happier in my life pursuing all the things that I'm pursuing right now. You know what I mean? And I want other people to experience that happiness as well.
Oh, man. I'm trying to see. There was, like, one more thing. It was... Well, like, no matter what, oh, yeah, with the unhappy thing, it was like, no matter what you have been through or experience you've had up to this point, it has no bearing at all on how you live from now on. You choose that. So mm-hmm. that was like.
That probably was a huge pivot spot for you right there.
Right there. It was yeah. just like, damn. I was yeah. like, all right, man, it's time to. After reading the book, though, like in those 3 days, I was like, all right. And, you know, the lessons are still fresh in the head. So, like, people at the gas station would be like, I think after I finished reading the book, my brother hated it when he was like, shut the fuck up about the book.
Yeah, but that's your brother being your
brother. Yeah. So there was a yeah. guy at the gas station. He was just like, I don't know. There was like two truckers at the gas station. You know, we're filling up gas. We're pretty far away and like somewhere in Haines City.
Mm-hmm.
And one trucker, he's just, the one in front, he was just kind of waiting, you know, patiently waiting. But they didn't tell us or anything like, hey, they got to use the pumps, because there was only one pump.
Mm-hmm.
So me, my crew were eating breakfast at by the gas pump. And, you know, time goes by. You have this other trucker. He's just screaming, just freaking pissed off, like in the morning. Just, and instead of just coming up to us like, hey, can you like move the truck or anything. He took a longer walk to get inside the store to yell at the cashier lady that we're at the pump to walk all the way back to his truck so the lady can come. I'm like, bro,
yeah. He couldn't talk to you.
I don't know why, but he was just so angry. And what's it called? We see the gentleman up there, and I just yell out, like, hey, do you need us to move? And he was like, yeah, please. And I was like, oh, yeah. And my brother was like, all he had to do was ask, like, the other guy that was screaming, and the guy was just like, fuck you, bro. He was pissed off. And my brother, I can tell, like, in the couple minutes when you feel that, you know, you have that emotion where it's like, you want to say something back. So I was just like, Ivan, don't get mad about that. That's a task that's up to him. He's angry.
Oof.
And that right there, I was like, yes, I could use this shit for everything.
And it probably didn't bother you the rest of the day.
It didn't bother me at all. And my brother was like, yeah, you're right. Like, he's probably had a bad morning or something. Mm-hmm. So we're like, it's not up to me. It's just a gas pump.
Yeah, you can't take that unhappiness from him.
Mm-hmm. So then I was just like, you know what, Ivan, that's a task that's up to him. He needs to work on that. That's not us. So
oof.
We freaking left.
That's so gold.
And then from there, I used it on everything. So when my dad would be pissed off, like, hurry up, step on it faster. We got to get to the job site. I'm like, Dad, stepping on it, like, we're going to get to the job.
Yeah, don't let that take that his task become your task.
Yeah, and I was just like, yo, Dad, like, we're 3 minutes away. Like, stepping on it isn't, right. Like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah. So my dad's like, yeah, you're right. And then he's like, oh, we're getting off late. I'm like, yeah, it is what it is. Like, we just finish up here and come back tomorrow. It's like, yeah, but, you know, like, what is it? Like, we don't got nothing else going on tomorrow. So now at work, we're not killing ourselves so much to get the job done, even though we would like to. But it's more of like, hey, this is the best we did today. We did the best we could. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a big job. There's no need to kill ourselves to working, like, till 7 p.m. when it's dark and mosquitoes are biting you. It's like, no, let's just pack up at around 6. Get the fuck out of here in like 6:30, and you know, we'll come back if we have to come back. That's it. So
other than it's been a game changer of a book. Anything else you want to mention on it before we talk about the next book?
No.
Good one. Best one so far of the three that we've read?
We only read three?
Yeah, The 4-Hour Work Week. We read what was the name of the Adrian's one?
See, that's why it was like my least favorite book. I can't remember.
Or how to read people like a book.
Yeah, right. How to read people like a book.
Yeah.
And this
is The Courage to be Disliked. So the next book is kind of deceiving in the title. But the next book that, since it's my turn to pick, since normally it went. So Adrian normally sits there and you normally sit in the center. And so now it's my turn to pick the next book. So it's going to be called Blue Ocean Strategy.
Blue Ocean. I'm going to write that down.
So I already ordered it. So I'll mention real quick what it is.
Let me see if I can get it today.
Watch. Mine's going to, my one who ordered before you is going to get it after you. Blue Ocean Strategy. So for me, what I'm looking for as some, because you've already done this part of life and I haven't gotten to even try it yet, is starting your own business. And this is supposed to be highly recommended by a lot of the successful people that I follow on social media and stuff, a lot of the businessmen that I follow. But it says Blue Ocean Strategy, how to create uncontested market space and make the competition irrelevant.
Oh, that sounds pretty nice.
And so it is a very, very highly rated book. It has a 4.6 out of 5 stars for 5,462 reviews on Amazon.
Damn.
But basically, I think this is going to be a game changer of a book. And a lot of the entrepreneurs and stuff that I follow were saying it is a game changer of that type of book. And I think it will help with the podcast. I also would like to start my own business of some type too. I have something specific in mind, but you know, I'm working towards that and trying to figure out if that's the actual thing that I'll pursue. But I think that time-wise, that book will help me a lot in my current chapter of life that I'm concerned with.
No,
so
no, you got it.
I hope so. We'll see. You have a lot more confidence in it than me. Same thing with businesses. It's like to be vulnerable for a second, like. I feel I'm not worthy, but I know that I am. And so like in my mind, it's like, you know, I'll never be worthy of owning a successful business if I never think that I can. And so, I mean, the power of thought, a lot of these books, that's what it talks about too, is the power of what you believe can happen and can't happen kind of thing too. And I really believe that I can just like with the podcast, if I can do a podcast, which I clearly do, like I can do other things too. I just need to devote time and focus and energy and get more information, because more information is how we make better decisions. And right now I'm thinking about starting a business from very, very little information on how to do so. And the more information and understanding I get, the easier it will be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's like, I guess I would say one advice that's helped me out from reading this book and actually understanding like my businesses and stuff. A lot of times when you open up a business and it's small, like you just started out, don't think about it like, oh, like, I'm not here and stuff like that, because then that right there just brings a lot of negativity towards mm-hmm. you, and it kind of gets you down to like a little depression. Mm-hmm. So where you're like, you're not taking advice from anyone because they don't understand like where you're coming from. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, you don't, you're like, your business is different from mine. But no, business is the same as everything else. It's business is more of like, how can you make more money? And that's like, yeah, it could be, a lot of people tend to forget that, bro, you're supposed to have fun with it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, when I first started my business, I would have like this adrenaline. I'm like, oh, this is fun, blah, blah, blah. But then when you start comparing yourselves to like other businesses, you start to limit yourself.
Right.
And you're limiting yourself because
you create that vertical relationship with other businesses in your business.
Yeah. So instead of like, and a lot of, bro, just like, it's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're not going to be able to like, some people might not even give you the right advice or the right thing, or they might just like, oh, shut up, you're my competitor, I'm mm-hmm. not going to help you out. And it's like, look, it's great, man. You don't want to help me out. I'm going to find the answer one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But that's stuff that you have to do on yourself. So it's like, yeah, it's going to be a little time consuming. But when you figure it out, you're going to be like, wow, this was easier than I thought.
Right.
And then, you know, it's not like business isn't like, oh, it's just a smooth path all the way. No, you're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. You're going to have more bad days than good days. But
mm-hmm.
when those good days come, and like, I'm not sure if you're, because some people start businesses because they want to just create art mm-hmm. and they just want to show their art to people. They don't really care mm-hmm. much about the profit they make of it. It's like, this is something that makes me happy. I just kind of want to give my services out to whoever needs it.
Right.
Now, if it becomes a big thing, great, you know? But if you're constantly thinking like, no, I'm trying to make this much, I'm trying to make this much, you're gonna, what's it called? I would say overwork. You're gonna overwork yourself a lot, and you're just not gonna, it's gonna be hard to get back to the mentality you had when you started. Mm-hmm. But yeah, great on you, man. You got this stuff.
I feel you. I'm excited for it. I think this book's gonna be huge help. And similarly, like, I keep thinking like, there's, to me, when it comes to starting a business, it's not a matter of if I'm going to do it. It's like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to, like, I'll find a way through it. There's just no other option to me. And I feel like that's the thing that you really need to have as somebody starting a business, is like the willingness to figure it out, and to know that, to not be so stubborn in everything that I do and be like, no, it has to be this. It's like, no, sometimes you have to change your perceptions and change your direction of attack. But the problem is don't stop attacking.
You know what I mean? Don't stop attacking.
Yeah. So,
maybe take some time to sharpen that blade, but then attack right after.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Re-engage. Exactly. So, all right, brother. Anything else you want to talk about? The next book's called Blue Ocean Strategy. I've already got it on purchase. So, if you want to grab it too, I'll text Adrian, and hopefully he'll be around for the next one. Now, as far as like, if anyone else has anything that they want to, like, you know, if there's a book that you've read before and you think you would really enjoy to hear us talk about it on the podcast, any book recommendations, you know, please send it to our way. Reach out to Juan, reach out to I, reach out to Adrian, or the podcast Instagram as well. I'd love to hear from anybody about what they would want to do or what they'd want to see from us in the future. Or any questions they might want us to ask about each of the books we read. So, mm-hmm. I give my recommendation of this book. I said it was about a 6 out of 10. What would you say would your out of 10 rating?
Well, out of the 4 magnificent books I've read in my lifetime, I'm just kidding. No, out of the 4 books that I actually chose to want to read, because these are the only 4 books. It was the David Goggins, mm-hmm. Can't Hurt Me, The 4-Hour Work Week, How to Read People Like a Book, and The Courage to Be Disliked. I would rate this one above the, what's it called? The David Goggins book, only because it tackled through some things that I needed help
with.
Yeah. Like, I was unstable. I didn't really properly think right the right way. It was a great reset for me. So this was probably like my 10 because.
Nice. It was the right thing at the right time. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yep. Dude, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that. That means, to me, that makes this worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It gets worth the time. It gets worth the energy. Because that's what I said when we were even talking about doing the podcast for the book club, was just to make each other better and to make ourselves better. And then if we even can influence anybody by doing it for ourselves, because I think that's what you really do. If you focus so much on yourself, you influence other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. Yep. To know that it's helped you like that. It's already been worth it to me.
Ooh, excuse me. Yeah.
All right, brother. Anything else we want to talk about today?
One last thing.
Okay.
Don't do things to be recognized. You want to do things so you can contribute to your community.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Do things out of the goodness of your own heart. As crazy, as cliche as it might sound. Yeah.
But you got to think about it bigger picture. Yeah. But that's a task that's up to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Not exactly. Exactly. So, all right. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out. See you guys. Bye.
Yep.
This episode of Somehow We're Adults is over. But if you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to one of the levels of the Patreon, where we will release bonus episodes that can't be found anywhere else. Any of the money that we get from the Patreon would be used to upgrade old equipment as well as get new gear so that we can make the best podcast for you to tune into. You can also follow the podcast Instagram at Somehow We're Adults, where I share clips and content about the podcast, and the link in the bio will take you to any of the Somehow We're Adults pages. I encourage you to check out another one of the episodes if this is your first time listening, and if you're a repeat listener, thank you for your support. I love making the podcast, and I hope you tune in for future episodes of Somehow We're Adults.